11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Welcome along to League Podcast, a championship programme full of good bets. And Pete Farris is with us to guide us through. Plus, we'll get a nap from Pete later on and a best bet in League 1 and 2. And we'll furnish you with the both teams to score double. Should we crack straight on, Peter, with the live TV game? QPR versus Leicester. 23-20 QPR. 11-5 the draw. And Leicester are priced up at 5-2. QPR top of the table now on 42 points. Leicester are 3 points back in third, both having played 20 games. The goal difference is fairly similar. QPR's are far better off at the moment. And they've just been there or thereabouts all season, QPR. The home form has been fantastic. Last lost a game at home in the League Cup at the end of August, and haven't lost a game all season in the Championship. Two draws are the only points they've dropped to Blackburn and Brighton. Both got goalless draws against them. And if you're going to pick holes in anything out of Leicester's season, it's their away form, Pete, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And even then, it's not horrendous, is it? I mean,
no.
If you look at just four losses away from home, you know, it's not perfect, but it's not dreadful. But if you look at the teams who tend to beat Leicester, it's a funny little mix, isn't it? They tend to be beaten by only the poor sides. Charlton, a 2-1 loss there. Doncaster, Sheffield Wednesday. You know, okay, Brighton are a decent side, so that goes against the argument. But three of the four losses they've had have been against bad sides. And that is intriguing to me. But there is no argument here today that QPR are an unbelievable price odds against Lee. Unbelievable price odds against. Yes, we've seen blips against, for example, Burnley. And for, of course, example, against Doncaster. But the way they're playing at the moment, the confidence they've got, the players at hand, you know, people like Charlie Austin starting to finally find his feet now, isn't he? He grabbed, of course, one of the two winners against Blackpool last weekend. They're just starting to find their feet now. They're starting to just look really, really ruthless. Right, Leicester's away form isn't good. On top of which, of course, Leicester played in the week, didn't they, and lost to Man City 3-1 in the League Cup. Put a lot into that game and had to deal with an awful lot of movement and an awful lot of quality in that as well. So, straight off the bat, Lee, this isn't even that complicated. QPR, odds against 23-20. It has got to be a play. Yes, I wouldn't mind having a little nibble as well if the listeners fancy it. I'm more than happy to have a little nibble on Charlie Austin and QPR at 5-2. I think that's quite a good bet as well. But generally speaking, why QPR are odds against? Yes, they're playing a good side, but those form lines don't add up to a QPR. They should be narrowly odds on in this game, 10-11, something like that. 23-20 is manna from the gods, mate. It's a great bet.
Yeah, very nice. Bolton, Charlton's the next one that we've picked out. Bolton are priced up at 21-20. It's 21-10 the draw and 3-1 the price for Charlton Athletic. Bolton 16th with 22 points. Lost at Wigan on Sunday, of course, with a winner from McManaman in the, I think, about the 70th minute. Had beaten Doncaster Rovers the game before that. The home form has been better than their away form. Just one loss, that was to Huddersfield Town since the 14th of September. Charlton, away form, all right. A couple of defeats to QPR and at Reading. You could excuse those. And a 2-2 draw at Yeovil. And I'd won the previous two games. Charlton are one of those strange teams who they're quite hard to predict, Pete. And they can upset your bets now and again. Are they big enough to tempt you in?
No.
No,
no, they're not. Again, Bolton looked like an excellent price and an excellent bet here. They actually played really well against Wigan and actually really should have won that game despite losing 3-2. Now, the fact is they didn't win that game and you have to say, well, that's not good enough. But again, odds against here. The way they're playing, again, Mark Davies, for example, back from injury, he's an important player. He's been out for a long time, but he's starting to get back into that side now, starting to find full fitness. Their home form has seen that narrow loss to Huddersfield recently, lost to QPR and Leeds. But really, all sides that are so much better, miles better than their opponent of the weekend, Charlton. Charlton, you know, we've seen players like Dale Stevens and Johnny Jackson both linked heavily with going to Bolton Wanderers. Could be interesting maybe to have a look at them scoring or something on those lines. But Bolton are so much better right now. The sum of their parts isn't representative, I don't think, of the results they're getting. Now, you've got to be fair and say, well, that's not good enough. Is that a reason to back a team? Because the players are good enough, the manager's excellent, the setup's excellent, but they're not currently pulling away. They are still, after a disastrous season, 16th. They will keep going. They will finish top half of the table. There is no question. They will finish top nine for me. There's no question. And again, as we start to hit this busy Christmas period, I think they are the team you've got to be backing. Two wins away from home all season for Charlton. That, to me, isn't good enough against sides in Birmingham and Blackburn, who at the time were struggling as well. Charlton, for me, have got relegation written all over their foreheads. And it's sad because I like the club. I think Chris Powell's a really good guy as well. And I think they've got some good players in there. But I just can't see Charlton staying in this division. And I can only see Bolton getting better and better and better. The home and the away form adds up again. 21-20 is absolutely phenomenal this weekend, I think, for Bolton to win at home against Charlton.
Next up, let's have a look at Birmingham's home game against Nottingham Forest. The prices, first of all, Birmingham are 19-10, 21-10 the draw, and 6-4 for Nottingham Forest. Forest are in 7th, just a point outside the playoffs. Birmingham down in 15th, 10 points outside the playoffs, and 6 points above Sheffield Wednesday in the drop zone. Forest, if you look at their form as a whole, they've only got one win in the last 5. That was a win at Sheffield Wednesday. 3 draws in there and a 3-2 defeat to Reading at home. Their away form is much better, though. It kind of there's only one defeat in the last 6 for them away from home, so you can use those stats how you like. Birmingham aren't in bad form, are they, Pete? A win at Bournemouth, a couple of draws, a win at Barnsley. But maybe you look at their opponents and question how good that is. And conversely to the Forest, where I looked at the Forest stats, Birmingham's home form is poor, really, isn't it?
2 wins. It was that period, wasn't it? The Jesse Lingard period, as we'll maybe call it, where he went in, scored 4 against Sheffield Wednesday. They scored 8 goals in 2 games. And since then, haven't won against poor sides as well, Sheffield Wednesday and Millwall. Other than that, they can't win games, Lee. And that, for me, is a serious, serious concern if you're wanting to back them at 19-10 at home this weekend. But you're right, Forest's problems have been predominantly at home in recent weeks, haven't they? They can't really pull away. They can't really win games, although they have picked up 1 in that recent 5. They can't quite get going. And that's got to be a real worry to Billy Davies. You know, they're just one place outside the playoffs. That has got to be a genuine and throbbing concern.
Don't say throbbing. Don't say throbbing again, please.
Billy Davies, if we're being serious. I think that both teams to score at 8-11 looks great in this. I think it's one certainly for any both teams to score Aki. You look at Birmingham's home form so far this season, and it hasn't landed as much as you'd maybe like, but these will be two teams who feel they can get something from each other. You know, 4 of the last 5 Birmingham home games, though, have been both teams to score. Forest have been scoring in away games, haven't they? Scored every single away game so far this season of Nottingham and Forest, conceded, in fact, in all but 3 of those as well. So they are a side who score and concede. I actually am looking at the X here, Lee. I'm looking at the draw. And draw and both teams to score, match result and both teams to score here, is 3-1 for the draw. And I really like the look of that. You look at Birmingham recently, 3 back-to-back scoring home draws. If you look towards 3 of the last 5 games they've played have been those games as well. The 3 of the last 5 games, of course, have been both teams to score and a draw. Forest away, they score. And yes, they've been winning, but away from home, they've been winning, but they've been drawing a lot recently and they can't seem to pull away. So I think this is a game where we land directly right in the middle here on a score draw. And the draw on both teams to score is 3-1.
Very nice. Let's have a look at Derby County versus Doncaster Rovers. Derby's price at home, probably not surprised to hear this, 4-9, 100-30 the draw. Donny Rovers priced up at a big fat 6-1. You don't see many prices bigger than that in the Championship. There's a reason for it. Derby are absolutely flying at the moment. 6 straight wins, scoring goals as well. Bagged another 2 in a win at Charlton. They'd beaten Blackpool 5-1 before that, remember. Goals from all over the place. Craig Bryson scoring. You've got goals from Jamie Ward. Of course, Chris Martin's weighing in with plenty as well. And Donny's form's been a bit iffy of late. That QPR win, it kind of almost looks like an anomaly now when you look at their results, doesn't it, Pete?
Yeah, it does. And Donny are also a side where you would worry severely about relegation, wouldn't you? One away win so far this season. And they have hit, to be fair, some decent home form of late. I think it's three of the last five they've won at home and lost only to good teams as well. So I think that has got to be taken into account. But, I mean, how do you back against Derby here? The only reason, there's two reasons. You'd say, A, is the Championship. So that's probably why you might have a go against them, because in the Championship, we see this kind of thing quite a lot, don't we? Or B, just because you've got a gut feeling and you want to go for it. If you are going to do that, I beg you desperately to take the 5-1 draw. No bet. You're only losing a point of value, and if it's a draw, you're still getting your money back. So I would urge anyone to do that. Plus two Doncaster Rovers is 7-10, which is fantastic. If you want to play that, if they're going to lose this game, perhaps they won't buy more than a goal. But at the end of the day, I, as a punter, for any accumulator, any pre-match accumulator, there's an argument sometimes, Lee, that if you're putting together a sixfold for your Acca insurance that William Hill offer, that you should throw in a 1-6, a 1-12, something along those lines.
Yeah,
it's an argument that I've got to say I'm not happy with, really. Because what if that 1-12 lets you down? If you've got six bets you love or more, then fantastic. The Acca Insurance is a wonderful, wonderful creature. But
yeah, if you've done, you're saying you've done your research on the other five, and you just stick one in for the sake of it, it doesn't mean it's a good bet just because it's 1-12, does it?
No. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely right. This is one though that I would put in. If this is if you're looking for a sixfold and you want a short price to bump you up to six games, this is a great thing to do. Because the way that they are playing, the goals that they are scoring. I mean, if you look at the fact that they hit five against Blackpool, they hit two against Derby, they hit three against Sheffield Wednesday. You're looking at 14 goals in the last five games at home for Derby County. It is a phenomenal record. It is a phenomenal record. They're scoring goals. Steve McLaren has got them flying. The bet here for me is a handicap market bet. It is minus a goal Derby at 10-11. They're going to score at least twice. The race to two is 1-2. They're going to score at least twice. Doncaster Rovers, I'm afraid, are in all kinds of hell and all kinds of trouble. And I'm afraid I can't see Derby helping them get out of it this weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's have a look at our next game. And it is Ipswich at home to Watford. 6-4 Ipswich, 21-10 the draw. And Watford are priced up at 19-10. Obviously, Watford have had a bit of a torrid week of it with the manager resigning. And a very nice resignation letter it was, as they go. Run out of ideas, really, I guess. Haven't had a win since beating Huddersfield back on the 5th of October. So that's a run of nine games without a win. A couple of draws in there, but also losing to the likes of Sheffield Wednesday in Yeovil at home. Not good. Ipswich Town tend to rely on their home form, Pete. That's the cliche, anyway. That's the generalisation. Not really so. I mean, their away form's been pretty good as well. They've won the last two at home, but have had defeats at home this season. I wonder how Watford's players will react, because it wasn't like Zola was, you know, he'd lost the dressing room necessarily. I wonder if they'll be a bit down in the dumps about it.
Yeah. And the man they've brought in is a man with the longest possible record you could imagine.
Yeah.
Started very low down in Italian football. Eventually found his way. I suppose the biggest team was, I think he was managing from 96 to 98 before he hit really a big team, which was Varese. After that, he was in charge of Siena for only a year. Palermo for pretty much only a year, albeit everyone at Palermo's only there for at most a year. Chievo, he was there, but again, he's now gone into Watford. He's a guy who since 2007 has had, I think it's seven different jobs. That is not really in line with the kind of long-term thinking that sometimes the Championship needs, is it? And he's a man who goes into clubs and I'm afraid moves on very quickly indeed. That's his history. That's his past. I don't think it's a very good appointment. And I've got to say, I do think that this is the beginning of a real, real run of trouble for Watford. I mean, the fact that Gianfranco Zola resigned, the fact of the matter is he did brilliantly last season, majestically last season. Some people, including myself, thought Watford might struggle last year. But they were, of course, incredibly close. Minutes, in fact, out of the way, weren't they, towards the end? And yet, they just couldn't really get over the line. And maybe he, feels like he's run out of ideas. Watford, yeah, their away form is a lot of draws. I mean, they've only lost twice away from home all season. But Ipswich is a hard place to go, man. I mean, Burnley and Leicester, the only two teams who've won at Ipswich since the second home game of the season against Leeds. Only really good teams beat Ipswich. I love Mick McCarthy. I think he's a fantastic manager. He's just signed Sylvain Ebanks-Blake as well, who's gone into the club. That's a big signing for Ipswich, a cracking signing for Ipswich as well. There is no doubt in my mind that Ipswich are a fantastic bet at 6-4. I hope you could hear that bet over my cats fighting each other.
I didn't hear anything.
6-4 Ipswich, a fantastic bit of value, I think. I'd also have the Ipswich and both teams to score at 100-30. You look at the fact that Watford have scored in four of the last five away games. Both teams' scores landed in four of the last five Watford away games. Ipswich, when they win at home, apart from, I think, two games, Millwall and Brighton, have had both teams to score in that as well. The job that Mick McCarthy has done since he went into a sinking Ipswich has been magnificent. And the man that Watford have brought in, Giuseppe Sannino, like we say, okay, the Palermo thing possibly is not too much to be read into because no one lasts at Palermo. But he's been at a lot of clubs for a long time. He is not a man who builds. I don't even think he's massively a firefighter. I just think that it's a bad decision in terms of who they've replaced a decent manager with Watford. And that 100-30 Ipswich and both teams to score looks great.
Let's have a look at Leeds versus Barnsley next. Leeds United are priced up at 4-5. Barnsley are 4-1, and it's 11-5 the price for the draw. Leeds United fans cock a hoop at the minute. They've moved themselves into the playoff zone with a really good run of form and starting scoring plenty of goals as well. Three against Donny, three against Watford, two against Wigan. They lost to Blackburn but scored two against Borough. Barnsley, typical season for them, really. I mean, they're a bit lower than they usually are, Pete, in the bottom at the moment. But they usually find a way, don't they, eventually. Hard to back them in this game, though, isn't it, at Telland Road?
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. I know there was that cracking win over Brighton, but that's their one win away home from home all season. It's a local derby that might put a bit of a spin on things. The only two teams to beat, we spoke a moment ago about the only teams to have beaten Ipswich at home so far this season. The only teams to have beaten Leicester at home so far this season. Sorry, Leeds at home so far this season. QPR, Burnley.
Yeah.
So, if only QPR and Burnley have beaten Leeds at Elland Road, do I think that Barnsley have really got a chance? Why are Leeds 4-5? The only thing I can think of is that local derby slant.
Yeah, it's not really a local derby for Leeds, is it? Disrespectful, that, you know, maybe for Barnsley. But Barnsley got a decent record there. I know you're not a big fan of head-to-heads, but there is something about this fixture where Barnsley they lost last season at Elland Road, but they've won a couple of times and got some big draws there as well. But
It's a Yorkshire derby rather than a local derby, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah.
And that's probably the phrase. You're right, you are correct. It's probably the phrase I should be looking for, really. And that's the thing. It's just, how on earth? I mean, 4-5. You're looking at David Haig coming out this week, of course, the man who's part of the ownership structure at Leeds, and saying, listen, we're now doing due diligence with people coming in to invest. You know, you've got Brian McDermott, my man, along with Chesterfield goalkeeper Tommy Lee, my man crushing football. I mean, the guy is an absolute genius, I think. Absolute genius at this level. He really is. And the way they've been scoring goals, I mean, 4-2-2. 2-3 at home recently. Yeah, that was the 3-3 draw at Watford in a crazy game. But 4-5, Lee.
You like that?
13, even shorter than that, they should be in this game. It's madness. It's absolute madness. No, I mean, obviously, Ross McCormack's one of the most dangerous players. Matt Smith has come in out of nowhere and done magnificently. They are playing great football. And Leeds minus a goal here, Lee, is 19-10. It is 19-10. It's landed in three of the last five home wins that they have had, Leeds. They're looking unbelievably good. Minus a goal, 19-10 Leeds.
Fair enough. Millwall versus Middlesbrough is our final championship game. This one's on the telly on Saturday evening at 5:30. Millwall are priced up at 17-10. It's 21-10 the draw and 17-10 for Middlesbrough. So the book is struggling to make their minds up on this one. They're 1 point ahead of Middlesbrough in 18th position. Middlesbrough locked on 20 points with Donny Rovers, and their away form is poor. They just picked up a point against Birmingham in the last away game, and that was the first point they'd picked up since the 17th of September when they got a 2-2 draw at Nottingham Forest. Concede plenty as well. There's only one game in that run that I've just mentioned, Pete. In fact, there's only two games this season where they've conceded less than two goals in an away game. That was at Blackburn and in a 1-0 win at Charlton, the first away game. So not clever defensively away from home. And Millwall, they're kind of like the polar opposite of that. The 1-0 win over Barnsley is the only time they haven't scored two or more goals in about six or seven games. This should be a Millwall home win. Interesting price, isn't it?
Yeah, and it should be a Millwall home win. You're absolutely right. It's very, very hard indeed to see Middlesbrough picking anything out of this game. And yes, a lot of that form is, of course, pre-Aitor Karanka. I think we have to make that absolutely clear. Of course, it's a new regime, and Aitor Karanka is trying to change an awful lot very, very quickly. I'm pretty sure Middlesbrough lose this game. But I think a cleverer way to play this is to look at goals, and predominantly Millwall goals. Race the two Millwall goals is 21-10, Lee.
Yeah.
When you look at the way the two sides have been scoring, okay, it started very difficultly for the new manager, didn't it? A loss to Yeovil, a loss to Huddersfield, and getting spanked by Derby. Since then, they've hit three against Blackpool and obviously won the race 2-2. They hit two against Leeds and won the race 2-2. They hit two against QPR and didn't win the race 2-2 that time, but you know they won the race 2-2 against Burnley the next home game in a 2-2 draw. Only scored once against Barnsley, but scored twice against Forest and won the race 2-2. Scored twice against Wigan and won the race 2-2. And like you say, Lee, the way the Borough have been conceding away from home so far this season, I mean, like you say, it's Blackburn and Charlton, isn't it, I think, away from home, where they haven't conceded at least two goals. Whether or not they lose this game, because they can score as well, it remains to be seen. I think they probably will. But the best bet in this, unquestionably, over 2-1, Lee, race 2 goals, Millwall. It's amazing value.
Let's get a best bet in League 1 and League 2 from Pete this weekend. Where are you looking, Pete?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, League 1 and League 2? We talk every week about how they're so tight leagues now, especially League 2, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And it is absolutely ridiculous. But in terms of League 1 this week, there was a bet that, in terms of value, just poked its head out to me a little bit. And that is 17-10 Wolves away against Rotherham. Now, Rotherham are playing unbelievable football. Steve Evans, while he's a man who splits opinion, and he does split opinion, the fact of the matter is, four wins from five, they're playing brilliantly. And yes, Wolves have dropped two games on the bounce, haven't they? Lost the last two to Peterborough and to MK Dons. But with what's coming out of Wolves this week, and Kenny Jackett talking about how it's going to be defensive, how they're going to be trying to scrape things, I think 17-10 is very good. Now, a lot of listeners will look at that and go, well, surely with the form, 17-10 for Rotherham, Pete, is actually very, very good. And I get that argument. But when you're getting 10-11, draw no bet Wolves, and we know that Kenny Jackett is trying to approach this game slightly differently, that will do very nicely indeed for me.
Let's get the League 2 best bet then, Pete.
It's actually, for the first time, and I cover Chesterfield games, I don't often like to sort of mix the two together, but I think Chesterfield will win this evening, in fact. We're recording this on Friday, against Exeter. Yes, they're missing quite a few players, but they had Matty Brown's red card rescinded the other day. Exeter's squad isn't big, and the fixtures are starting to pile up, and Exeter are going to start to, I think, A, shuffle what they possibly can, and B, struggle when they do. I don't think that second string is anywhere near good enough. Chesterfield have got so much quality that even without Nandrier, Richards, Morsi, Ryan, they can bring in Togwell, they can bring in McSheffrey, they can bring in so many talented players. The 13-10 for Chesterfield looks good. But the main bet in this game is a man who scored in two of the last three games and looks so, so good again. Being scoured by big clubs, that man is Tendai Dorikwa at 4-1. When you look at the list, Nandrier, Richards, both injured. Banks, Roberts, injured. Diriqua should be higher in this list. 4-1, great anytime bet for Tendai Diriqua.
Good knowledge, good name as well. They both teams to score double this weekend. Didn't land last weekend. Sheffield United kept a clean sheet. Shock horror. We're going this week with Oldham versus Colchester. Oldham's home games have seen 62.5% as both teams to scores. Colchester's away games, 80% of their away games have featured both teams scoring, a combined percentage of 71%. And Brighton versus Huddersfield, 80% of Brighton's home games have been both teams scoring. And Huddersfield away record shows 60% of their away games feature both teams finding the back of the net. That's a combined percentage of 70%. They come out at a 13-5 double. Those stats, by the way, from a really good website, Where the Goals At, gives you a full list, a full spreadsheet of all the different home and away percentages all around Europe. So well worth having a look at that. 13-5, the double for the both teams to score. Pete, you landed your nap last week at 21-20. Good old QPR winning at Blackpool. I lost mine. I went all adventurous with Leicester to win and both teams scoring. Both teams scored, but the Leicester win bit let me down. So I'm using that as a lesson. I was going to go Tranmere to win and over 2.5 at 100-30. That one's being played on Friday night against Gillingham. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go over 2.5 goals. Tranmere versus Gillingham. Gillingham's away games, 90% of them have been over 2.5 goals. And 67% of Tranmere's home games have featured over 2.5. So that'll do me nicely at 10-11. You'll know your fate by 10 o'clock on Friday evening as well. Where are you going? Come on, run of two. Let's get back-to-back naps landed here, Pete. Where are you going?
There are so many bets, Lee. Well, it's two in three, isn't it? But there's so many bets here. I was half tempted to put up a 161-1 sixfold, which I've got. But I'm not going to do that because that would be mad. Although it would certainly get me out of the red if it landed.
Yes.
QPR at 23-20 look phenomenal. Bolton at 21-20 look phenomenal. And I'm going to have to side, though, with Leeds minus a goal. The way they're scoring at the moment at home, the dross that Barnsley are trotting out on the road, especially in conceding goals, and the minus a goal at 19-10 being the price that it is, that's going to be my championship nap of the week. Leeds, minus a goal, 19-10.
Excellent. Fingers crossed for that. Pete, thanks very much for your time. You can hear Pete on InPlay Radio talking all manner of football from all around Europe. That's at inplayradio.co.uk. We'll be back next week for more of the same. In the meantime, have a very, very, very good weekend. And you'll hear from us over Christmas with Pete trying to delve into his sack to deliver lots of winning presents for you. If you're having a bet this weekend, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.